and I'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You may be seated. Over the centuries, life has been given for true living, for true life. This morning, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be doing quite a bit of reading instead, while preaching will come, as you know. If you have served or are presently serving in one of the branches of the armed services, when your branch, respective branch of service, is announced, would you please stand and remain standing for recognition of your branch of service? If your loved one is not here, stand in their honor if they served in a branch of the armed services. This morning, folks, as I continue focusing on our theme, life is, well, I want you to notice life is lived through comparisons. And this morning, our whole focus is going to be centered around soldiers compared. The military soldier and the soldier of Jesus Christ. At this time, I will read the formation of the six branches of the armed services. When you hear their anthem, would you please stand if you have served or representing someone who has in that branch? The United States Army, formed June the 14th, 1775. Thank you. The United States Navy, formed October the 13th, 1775. The United States Marine Corps, formed November the 10th, 1775. All right. Thank you. Now you know why I brag on Don all the time, don't you? The United States Coast Guard, formed August the 4th, 1790. The United States Air Force, formed September the 18th, 1947. For the first time that I get to announce this, or have been able to, the United States Space Force, formed December the 20th, 2019. We are so light, coming as we are the two. that awesome to be a part, to be living at a time when one of the armed services is formed? Yes, ma'am, Ms. Vance. Thank you, Ms. Vance. How many others have your fathers fought in World War II? One World War II? But, all right. You know, I'll rework this next year. Isn't that awesome? Thank you. Soldier defined. Here's your definition. One that fights for a cause, endures hardships, or otherwise conducts himself gallantly. 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. Paul says to young Timothy, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in the civilian affairs, the Mickey Mouse stuff. He wants to please his commanding officer. So he says, Timothy, you be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Focus pleasing him. And in so doing, you shall be the one that will be conducting yourself that will lead so many to him. When we think of an American military soldier, usually the first image in our mind is an individual in uniform, carrying a weapon, having a dedicated conviction to be prepared to fight and even die in defense of the country's freedom. But what is the image we have when we try to picture a soldier of Jesus? Do you envision he or she dressed in the armor of God uniform, armed with the sword of God, ready to live or die for freedom's right to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? The military soldier is drafted, or they contract to follow. The Christian soldier chooses to follow. Matthew 4, verses 19 and 20. Come, Jesus says, follow me. Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and they followed him. To hear the call of the warrior in our country to stand for the freedom that was given to us by Almighty God, not by a government, but by God himself, telling us as individuals, unite together and you become the government under God. You stand for what is right. Be ready and willing to fight and to even die for the freedom God says that I give you. That freedom that you and I experience on a daily basis is a gift directly from God himself. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, I became a part of his army. That army, though, cannot stay in the barracks. That army must be ready and willing to stand on the front lines of adversity. Whatever that adversity is or where the enemy is, there's where the Christian soldier must be, ready and willing to give your all to stand for the love that Almighty God gave to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. I give you freedom. I have made you free, says Jesus. What I have given you, don't you dare let man take from you. It is a gift. directly from God our Father, and he says, I love you. It is God who is our judge, not another nation. It is God who works within each and every one of us to make that which is pleasing through his Son. It is God our Father who has told us, be committed, fight for, and defend human freedom in this life. That's what we are to do. The military soldier is committed to that. The Christian soldier fights for human freedom to freely choose eternal life. I happen to like eternal life. I happen to appreciate it as a gift direct from my Creator, your Creator. God says, I give you life full of meaning, life full of purpose, life full of me. I give to you so that you will not only know peace, but the peace that you will find within your heart is going to supersede all the words of peace that are thrown out by man. It is a time period in your life to be able to appreciate the direct touch from the Master's hand. Oh, we human beings are full of flaws. We're broken in so many different ways. But you see, the moment I said yes to Jesus Christ, he only sees in me, as he does in you as a Christian, that which is perfected through his love. It was his blood that was shed that gave us, each one, the peace and the joy that's surpassing any understanding we have. Oh, I don't know why God would love me. But he does. He loves you because you are you. And the you you are is who he created you to be. That you is special to God. So special that he stood back and he watched his own son go through the torture and be put on a cross just for you. He watched his own son take your sin and take the guilt of your sin onto that cross. He saw the drops of blood, and each drop of blood that was shed had a name. Your name was there. Jesus introducing you to God the Father, and God the Father says, now I'm going to give you all of them, son, because of who you are, because of your love, because of your sacrifice. I give to you each child that you died for and has accepted you. What a gift. But it was a gift from God to Jesus. Jesus died. God watched, but he watched us that we would live and to express our appreciation to him. Thank you, Lord, for sending your son. Do you not know what that means to God the Father, who hears that expression from each of us? Just like a combat veteran hears the thank you for your service, it means something. So in that meaning, God takes that power that you have in expressing your appreciation and love. And do you know what he does with it? He gives you more love, more of his love, more of his protection. And even promised, Larry, let me make it personal. Larry, I promise you, you will never see death. I am your God, your Creator. I will pull you from that body before you even see the death that was coming. For you are a creature created in the eyes of God, the most precious of God's creation. That's who you are. And I promised you, because of what my son did in conquering death, you will never have to see it. come on home. See, I believe that with all my heart. I know it for a fact from God's word, and I understand it as a gracious act from God. For it is by grace you and I are saved, not because of our works, not because of what we have done, but always focus on what Jesus has done. Thank you, warrior. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I remember this, the greatest of all the warriors, he could have called 10,000 angels. The legions would have come to have pulled him from the cross, but he looked ahead. He saw each one of us. He knew our name. He knew us before we were formed in the womb of our mother. He knew all about us and had prepared a way for us. And he says, that's how important you are to me. Do you really think that the God who loves us and treats us with that much importance is going to let you see or feel the sting of death? No, it's the living that feels the sting and sees what we perceive that way from the human standpoint. But you see, there's more to you than a human. You're not just human. You are a spiritual being. You are a spirit that has a body, not a body that has a spirit. You were in the mind of God before time began, the scripture says. Therefore, the war, the battles were fought on your behalf before you ever came into existence. But God knew you would. God wrote the book. God gives us a direction. The map was drawn, he said. Here you are, and here you are. You live life, and you come be with me when you say yes to my son. When I said I believe, then I became a child of God. And once he had me, nothing can pull me out of his hand. Even Satan, all he does is trick and deceive. He has no authority to take me from the hand of my Savior. It's a gift from God. Remember, I told you. You then, once Jesus fulfilled the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection, that's the gospel, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Once he fulfilled that, we were sealed by the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit surrounds each and every spirit that has ever been created by God and protected. So therefore, we miss the death part. Oh, but man, let me tell you, that dying process is horrible. When they tell you there's no hope and all of this, the thing is, folks, you know the great physician. See, there's hope. This body may die. We will die eventually. But it's not going anywhere till the Lord says, come on home, Larry. Because of what Jesus did. Not because of our bravery as soldiers for Jesus, but because of our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, you and I find that salvation peace. The Christian soldier fights for that human freedom to freely choose eternal life. Fight the good fight of the faith, Timothy. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. When you were baptized, son, you said, I believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. You confess me before man. I have confessed you before my Father. Both the military and Christian soldier must maintain discipline 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but one, only one, gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Both the military and Christian soldiers must maintain dedication. The military soldier is expected to be dedicated to the orders of the officer temporarily in charge. The Christian soldier is expected to remain dedicated to God, who remains permanently in charge. Jesus' first miracle was turning the water into wine. His mother recognized exactly the power that God had given him when she had told her son, they only have water left. To paraphrase it, take care of that, son. That was his mama. And he took care of it. But here's what she said to all those around. John 2, verse 5. His mothers said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. You see, to do whatever Jesus tells you is a command that we all have. You want to be a winner? Do what Jesus says. You want to find the peace that surpasses all understanding? Do what Jesus says. Look for the peace in the right place. The peace will come from your heart, from inside your spirit, from who you really are in Christ. Therefore, follow that. Both the military and Christian soldier must continue testing. The military soldier is tested concerning his physical and mental ability. The Christian soldier, well, they're tested concerning physical, mental, and spiritual ability. The spirit having the ability to recognize that you are spirit. That voice you hear is the Holy Spirit. But the ability do you have to hear that voice is the real spirit of you on the inside. The body is frail, it's breaking, it's having pain, it's going to one day collapse, but not the real you on the inside. You can never collapse because, see, the real you is spirit made in the image of God. And God said, I am spirit, therefore I must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Worship through your spirit, and the truth is his son, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. To keep me from becoming conceited, Paul is speaking, because of this surpassingly great revelation that he had been given, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Well, I got news for you, folks. Have you ever noticed that every day of our life, it's like we got the good angel on one shoulder and the demon on the other whispering to us? It's the one that you listen to is the one direction you're going to go. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But here's what God told Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, For my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insult, in hardships, and persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. The armor of God, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the sword. This is the power, more powerful than any double-edged sword. It's the Word of God. The belt of truth. Jesus is truth, the way, the truth, and the life. The breastplate of righteousness. When you said yes to Jesus, you have been made righteous in the eyes of God. That's your breastplate. And the shoes fitted with the gospel of peace. You tell the world what Jesus has done for you. For it is what he's done for you that made you a winner and made sure that you did not lose the fight for what is right. That's the Word of God, and it doesn't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come out to give honor to your warriors, to remember the fallen father, to know, dear Lord God, that you love us so much, you still put in the heart of man the victory spirit. Touch the families that are left. Bring peace to their heart. Give them the courage and the boldness to walk on. For it is through your peace that we will find the eternal peace. Through your love that we will extend a hand of love. And it's in the name of Jesus we ask this blessing. Amen. During a time of invitation, it is a time for you. Have you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life? Have you followed him in baptism so that you can let the world know also that I do believe in the death, burial, and resurrection? Let them know you're a believer. And in so doing, that belief you have in your heart will float you right through, right into the house of God. I like that.